Manx Radio's Countryside is brought to you by NFU Mutual.
Hello and welcome to Countryside here on Manx Radio. I'm Simon Clark.
And I'm Kerry Kermode. I popped along to St Mark's Village to see how the preparations were coming along ahead of St Mark's Fair on Saturday.
I went along to the Laxey Dog Fun Summer Show Day and also took a trip to Port Erin Beach Day. Firstly, Kiri, you've been clipping more sheep by the sound of it. It's been a tough old week for the sheep. Glad to get the coats off.
It was a tough old week for me as well. But no, absolutely, Simon, the time of year's on. And in fairness, we're normally chipping away till the end of July with the sheep. So to have them done out of the way has been really good. But my golly, it has been hot, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's just a little bit of a concern. The grass slowly twinging colours, but still some silage and hay in particular getting cut.
That's right. I suppose there's people aiming for some silage, but because it has been so dry, have alternative thoughts, and it makes it for a little bit cheaper, seeing as the plastic bale wrap is quite expensive these days. But the smell of hay around the countryside, Simon, oh my word, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful smell, isn't it? Anyway, there was a different kind of smell at Port Erin Beach Day, I can tell you that much, but a lot of people on the beach line, and it was just like a summer postcard from many, many years ago. There was loads there for the kids and the parents to do. And I popped along to speak to some of the people involved, some of the kids towards the end. I spoke to Michelle Haywood about diving, and also, firstly, who was demonstrating all the items in the little tanks that were on display, crabs, lobsters, everything like that, was John Russell Dunn.
Well, John, you're here as a volunteer for the Manx Wildlife Trust exhibition today.
I am.
Chuck, have a look at it.
Do you know what? It's been fantastic. It's been non-stop from the moment they've opened. In fact, we can't even close when they want to close at 4 o'clock, but there's always somebody else in here.
Now, I've been waiting to talk to you for a while because the kids keep coming up here and asking questions about what's in the tank here.
Yeah, well, if you can keep the kids occupied, keep them interested in what you're doing, not only do they get interested, but the parents then become interested. And then the more people we can keep interested in it, the more they'll go out and start looking after everything that we've got. So it all starts with the kids, but it involves absolutely everybody.
So what's in this one?
In this particular tank, we've got two types of starfish. We've got two types of crabs. We have urchins. We've got some of the small stuff that I like to talk about. We've got bryozoa. We've got sea squirt, light bulb sea squirts. We've got a couple of small snails. We've got all sorts. People forget about the small stuff, but it's a vital part of the whole system. Yeah. So
One of the interesting things, you think that some of the parents sort of stand back and see the size of that crab in the corner, they stand back, and then the kids are up there ready to get in with it?
Most definitely, yeah. As I said, the kids love to see the big starfish, the big crabs and everything, you know. Well, if you can explain that the big crab started off as a small crab, just the way they're going to grow, etc., that keeps them enthralled. They don't just go, oh, I'm going to go looking for the next big crab. They want to know how it grows. They want to know where it eats and all this sort of stuff. So the more I can explain that to them and the more I can pique their interest in it, the more they're going to look after everything we've got.
And I think the beauty is with an exhibition like this open to the public of the Isle of Man for 2 days. I mean, people, the kids go to zoos, they can go to circuses, but the stuff that's on display here is in the Manx waters, which is the incredible thing, isn't it?
This is one of the biggest showcases we have for what we have in these waters. People still come up and say, where did that come from? Is that from Scotland? Is that from Wales? And we take great pleasure in saying everything you see here is literally outside the tent, in the waters just outside the tent, you know. Everything will go straight back in to those waters this afternoon when it's all finished. There's nothing gets taken to any shops or away home or whatever. There's a lot of people interested in the big crab, you know.
So, got the baps already.
So everything will go right back into the water, where it came from, and then we can start planning ready for next year, you know.
Yeah, we see one of them's on the move here now.
Is that a special crab?
This,
yeah, this is the European spider crab, this one. It's not one of the biggest crabs we've got here of that species. There's a one in one of the other tanks, which is a good size. But we've been told that these are starting to become more frequent in these waters. Whether that's down to water change, temperature, I'm not sure. But I've been told from a couple of divers now that that's tending to see more and more of these spider crabs. The big brown crab in the corner, that's more of what the fishermen would be going for, and the lobsters obviously, and also the scallops etc. that we've got. But yeah, it's the variety of things that we have is, it's mind-blowing to a lot of people to think that this is what we have within our waters, you know.
Well, it's a great part of this 2 days for people and volunteers like yourself to take the time to explain to the kids and the public about what we have in the Manx waters, isn't
it? It's my favourite weekend of the year. It really is. I can't help myself. Sorry about the voice, but not only do I talk to everybody, but I watched the match last night. So I'm a bit croaky today. But it's to be able to showcase this to everybody is just phenomenal. And again, a lot of people, if people can walk away from here and saying, do you know what, I've learned something new today, well, I've done my little bit, you know, so I'll be over the moon with that. Yeah.
And Michelle Hayward.
And of course, different hat on today, Michelle, part of the Port Erin Beach Festival, and obviously big into the diving as well.
Yeah.
And demonstrating a lot of it today and giving people the chance to have a look at some of the leaf bits and what they could expect if they joined and went diving.
Yeah, so obviously our divers have been out all this week collecting all the things for the Manx Wildlife Trust to put in their display tanks, which is, you know, the big attraction for people coming down. But this is our chance to tell people about snorkeling and diving around the island.
Yeah, and what's it like? I mean, obviously, we're here in Port Erin today. Is this a good spot? Is this the sort of base for the diving club?
Port Erin's one of the sites we use a lot because you can get in and out any state of the tide here, and generally we're sheltered from the winds, although today there's a really stiff easterly, so we didn't let our trainees go in today, so it's just not safe for them to be in there. But yeah, this is a great site, and of course it's part of the Port Erin Nature Reserve now, so it's a protected site as well. And at the end of the festival, all of those things that are in the tanks now will be coming back into the sea here. So gradually, I think we've populated this side of the island with a few more things than it had before we started.
Can you dive anywhere around the coasts of the island? Obviously, you wouldn't like to be doing it where the Mananin and the Manxmen are.
Well, yeah, no, definitely not allowed to dive in harbours. In fact, Port Erin's one of those strange harbours that we are allowed to dive in, but under certain conditions. They have to have marker buoys up and things. So, yeah, you can't dive in the harbours. You can dive. There are some restrictions over what divers can do in certain areas. And then our big challenge here is that the tides are so huge that you need to know what the tides and the currents are doing to be able to get in and out safely. It's generally in the bays you're safe, but when you get to the headlands, you can get some really good currents off the end of those headlands that mean you can jump in the water, but you're not going to get out in the same point. And so you really do need boat cover and somebody experienced to be able to get you out of the water again.
Right, so when you're under the water, it can be quite a challenge if the currents are strong. And I suppose you can't tell till you get in, can you?
Oh no, we can tell, yeah. You know, I think experiences, and as much as there are tidal atlases for the island as well, which tell you what the surface tide is doing, and we know surface tide is not the same necessarily as tide at 20 metres. But yeah, years of experience of diving around here, we've got a pretty good idea of where the tides are going when, and so that's the real art to dive planning around here.
And is there any favourite bits other than Port Erin where you've dived in the past and thought, we'll just have a look at it, and it's turned out to be really interesting?
My very favourite dive site is the Borough, so down off the Calf, the southern end of the Calf there. And underwater, it's a series of deep rocky gullies, and the water falls over there. And literally, at some points of the tide, there is almost a waterfall on the sort of pinnacles that break the surface as the sheer volume of water comes pouring over them. But that feeds filter feeding life that lives on those rocks. There is not a spare inch of rock. It's the most beautiful sea of anemones and hydroids and urchins. It's my favourite site ever in the world.
And what about the seals? Do they come up to you?
The seals will appear and stuff as they want. You know, they're obviously wild. They're usually quite curious, and they come to look and see what we're up to at any given time. And so, you know, they'll appear on a dive. Sometimes we do go looking for the seals, but you can never quite predict where they're going to be.
If anyone wants to get involved in diving here on the Isle of Man, what's the best way to go about it?
just get in touch with us down at Discover Diving. We're based in Port St Mary and the dive centre's down there. You can find us on the internet, look us up, give us a call, give us a shout. We've got training courses coming up all the way through the year, and absolutely love to get people involved in the world of diving, because what you don't see it from the surface, what under the water in the Isle of Man is just the most amazing marine life, and we're really lucky to have an area that's so well protected and so well looked after by the, you know, the regulations that DEFA put in place over what happens in the marine environment has made this a really, really special place to learn to dive.
Well, we've got a mum here who is?
Danielle.
Okay, and you've got a young fellow with you?
Jacob.
Yeah.
Nixon and Jordan.
Okay, so what have you been looking at today?
Crabs and lobsters, starfish, those sort of stuff, sea sponge.
Wow, you could seem to know quite a bit about them. Were they good to tell you what all the different things were?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was your favourite thing that you've seen?
Either the blue lobster or the sunset starfish.
Yeah, and you weren't scared among them?
No.
If you'd have got the chance, would you have got in the tank with them?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I would have touched one of the crabs.
Yeah. And what about in a submarine or something that could take you around the island underneath? Would that be nice?
Yeah, I've been in a submarine.
You've been in one?
It would be so cool to do
my
that.
My favourite part was the spider crab and a lobster.
Yeah?
Probably the coolest thing to do was to fly one of those drones around the island in the water, looking at the sharks.
And what about, did you stick your hand in the water to see if they'd bite you?
No, I
wanted to touch a spider crab because one of its legs popped out.
Really?
They didn't.
And so have you enjoyed taking the kids around here today? Is it your first time at the festival?
It's not my first time. We come every year and we love it. It's one of our favourite days of the year, and we just think it's fantastic that they put so much out here for the kids to see. It's a really great day out. Yeah,
and there's always no shortage of volunteers to let you know all the history about them. And the great thing is you can see all of these things. Well, you don't get the chance very often, but they are in our waters, which is even more incredible in a way, isn't it?
It is. It's amazing. It's amazing to see that they bring to life everything that's around the island.
Yeah. So well done. You've all enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Well, there we are. What a fun day parents and kids had. It was warm, so there might be a few red lobster looking people about today. But there we go. I was talking there firstly to John Russell Dunn. Also, Michelle Hayward, MHK, who was declared to stand for the Russian constituency again. And also declared so far in the Russian constituency are Michael Crow, Mark Kemp, Lawrence Vaughan Williams and Simon Williams. And also there amongst it was Danielle and some of the kids who were enjoying themselves too. My word, it was a lot of people there, Kiri.
Oh, it seems so wonderful to have such sunshine here on the Isle of Man. And like you said before, it's those yesteryear postcards that we saw them all with the deck chairs out. It's just such a nice place to be when the sun is shining on that beach in Port Erin. I spent many days down there as a young one as well. But to see all of the crabs and lobsters and get up close to nature, you know, that's something so, so special.
Well as Port Erin Beach Weekend, there's plenty coming up. There's the shows, the Southern Show, the Royal Show, and, of course, St Mark's Fair, Kiri.
Indeed, St Mark's Fair, yes, Saturday coming. And I popped up to the Fairfield and the Village Green to see how the preparations were coming along, where I caught up with the Chair Lady, Angela Southern, and Mike Norrie, the Treasurer. The fair, Angela, is just around the corner, and let's hope this weather stays.
Well, we do, Kiri, after having a lovely spell. It would be a shame if it broke for next Saturday, the 18th of July.
It has come round really, really quickly, hasn't it? And are you all ready?
Yes, as ready as we can be. We're standing here in the fair field at St Mark's at the moment, and Tony Quine every year gives us the field, and he's just had it baled, and the marquee is waiting there to go up this afternoon.
It smells absolutely lovely, that smell of sweet hay. It's always nice to get out in the countryside. And for St Mark's Village, Angela, the history, it goes back a long, long way.
Yes, I mean, this fair and it was initiated the year that Diana and Charles got married, and that's why they started it again. Melanie Garrett was the first princess that year, and ever since then it's continued, with just 2 years not being held, and that was foot and mouth in 2000, and then in COVID year it wasn't held, but it's been held basically on the same format since then. But prior to that, I do understand that maybe a couple of hundred years ago, there was a fair, as most of the villages on the island did. And it was possibly a trading fair where local farmers brought their animals to sell them. And that was predominantly on the village green rather than in a field.
And that's the thing with the village green, it is such a special place. And to see the ceremony, you still have the tradition of the princesses and the attendants and the little buttonhole boys. This year, who are they?
We do. Our princess this year is Emma Kelly. She's Darren Kelly's eldest daughter, Wack and Carol's granddaughter. And then we have Arabella Moss and Emma Venables as the princess attendants. We have Billy Forgy and Harvey Convig. Their grandparents have connections with the village. And it's going to be opened this year by no other than Mrs. Dot Tilbury, MBE.
Now that's certainly going to be an entertaining opening. And again, Angela, the names of those young children, the surnames may have got lost a little bit, but all of those families all hinge back to St. Mark's virtually, don't they?
They have a connection here. Like Arabella is the great-granddaughter of Robert and Florrie Convig.
Yeah.
And Billy Forgy, again, is Carol and Wack's grandson. Yeah. And Harvey Convig, again, is great-grandson, is he?
Yeah, of course.
Robert and, Ashley's grandson.
It's wonderful. And that's the thing about the country fairs, is it is a nice day out for the farmers to come and get involved. But there is so much more than that. There's so much to see, so much to do on the day, Angela.
There is, and it's not... It's a team. And just joining us is our treasurer,
Mike Norrie.
And I've been away the last 3 weeks, so Mike's been holding the fort and doing anything that needs doing, like even putting the advertising posters out and that type of thing. So there's a lot that has to be done before as well on the day, but we have a good team, don't we, Mike?
Yeah, we do. Yep. Yeah, we have a very good team, all pulled together on the day, and everybody turns up, so we don't have to ask them to do their jobs. They know their jobs.
And that's it. It's a packed schedule this year, Mike. There's so much to see and do, actually, on the fairfield.
Well, there is, yes. Yeah, we've got our bouncy castles again, so they're sort of taking their centre stage, so that's free for the children. So,
lovely.
And we're getting good response for stall holders, so it should be a good day. We'll have the vintage tractors and all the equipment that they have, and the classic cars.
Yeah. Some of those classic cars look absolutely wonderful, don't they? They're so turned out, absolutely sparkling.
That's right, and I think they enjoy their day, whether they're having a picnic or then they do the parade lap. And yes, it's just nice to see them moving around and seeing what they can bring to the fair.
This is it. And I can remember when we were younger, we used to love the sports. Alongside the dog show, I think that was a second favourite as well. But you still do the sports, Mike?
Yeah, we still have the sports. We'll have our running race, and we'll have our sack race, and we'll have our current and maybe XMHKs helping out with the sports. So not being active in the sports, but helping.
Well, I was going to say, put them to the test, why not? But one of the main attractions, I'd say, Angela, has to be the tea tent. Now, these homemade cakes, I know Balligarry Chapel gets an awful lot of credit for wonderful feed, but St Mark's Fair is close behind.
Yes, we do have... a good lot of ladies and men who make cakes. And any cakes that go into our competitions are then used within the afternoon for the afternoon tea as well as donation of cakes from other people that aren't in the competition.
And there is something nice having tea and cake in a field. I don't know what is so special about it, but it just has an extra taste, doesn't it?
It does, especially when the sun is shining and we can lift the flaps off the marquee up.
Oh, how nice.
let the breezes through. And Mike, the schoolroom in the village again will be used for the handicrafts.
Yes, it will. Yep, yeah. We'll be setting that up this week, and the judging will take place prior to the event. So, try and encourage people really to go and have a look at those exhibited in the schoolroom. It's yeah.
And some of the trophies, Angela, you were saying before, they date back many, many years for the, you know, the different classes.
Yes. We've got the Kinnish trophy. That was Mr. and Mrs. Tom Kinnish at Mulnauriga. They presented a trophy. Must be back in 1981.
Goodness me. That dates back a long time, doesn't it?
We just... Yeah. The Farga Cup for the best. That's in the sports competition. That was Happy Farraga that used to be at the Farmers Club years ago. So, yeah, we have the original poetry competition, and that was the John Quilliam Memorial Cup. John...
He would have been at the gun range, John. Is that the same family?
No, different family. Yeah. This John Quilliam's up in the graveyard here now. We have the Anna Madrill Cup, and Anna, and was she a sister to Mrs. Kinnish? She lived with them at Mulnauriga, I remember, years ago. And then we've got the Quine Trophy, which is a trophy that changes every year. It's a special competition, and this year we've got a painted teapot.
Oh, wow.
Competition. Or you can have a plant growing out of a teapot, or stick a wig on it, or something like that. And that's getting judged on Friday night. So if anyone would like to decorate a teapot in any way, bring it up for 7 o'clock on Friday night, and it'll be judged.
And that's the nice thing, isn't it? It's that community feel, getting everybody involved. And some of the handwriting classes, Mike, I can remember at Ballasalla School, we used to do our best handwriting in the class and fetch it up, and all the school children used to run across the road to see who'd won. Now, it must be so nice to have something on display and be something to be very proud of.
Yes, it is, yeah, and I think the kids respond to that as well, you know, and the schools help out, so there's various schools that sort of donate their, or arrange their prizes, the event for that, so it's hopefully that'll be popular as well. So.
And do you ever remember taking part in any of this kind of thing when you were growing up?
Not in this competition, no. I was too old for that, yes. Yeah. But I think we used to do handwriting for the MSPCA back in the day, the Maloop MSPCA. That was something that we did. So I suppose it's a bit of a carry-on for that. We've replaced that now by doing it for the fair. So.
And I think one thing that you mentioned, the sports, Mike, the children really do. I do recall growing up, we had the braid sports, the cool sports. There was a lot more, I think, sports events in the calendar when we were younger, but certainly we do get a good influx of children at the sports here. Yeah,
and it was nice to see on Tymwyl Day they kept the tradition going of the cronk of oddy sports as well.
Yeah, and that's well attended as well, isn't it? Yeah.
I think that's the thing, is when you can keep these events going on year after year, and it's down to a good committee, a strong attendance from the village, but also spreading the word.
Yes, absolutely. The whole island is welcome. We always have some other event on. You can't do anything on the Isle of Man on a free weekend, can you? And we are competing with the Viking longboats, but I don't think they'll impede too much with the clients that we have coming here.
No. Yeah. And you've got a team of good volunteers, I imagine, Angela?
Very much so, yeah. As Mike said, they all step up on the day. They all know their jobs. And just without Mike, without Sue and Lucy, who are our secretaries, and Jane, who's our catering secretary, and then everyone else that comes along on the day. It's just a great big thank you. Yeah,
it is. So, Mike, what time do we get going on Saturday?
Well, we'll start at 2 o'clock, but the Fairfield will be open from 1, so people can turn up early, and then hopefully they'll all move on to the green for the opening ceremony. And we'll have the Onken Silver Band leading up the princess in her car from the chapel down the road. So we look forward to a nice day.
Isn't it just so wonderful that tradition still goes on?
It is, yes, yeah. And even though St. Mark's is very busy with traffic now, it's one way of holding up the traffic, and I think they like the spectacle while they wait. So, it should be a good day. Yeah.
And alongside your volunteers, Angela, you also have some sponsors for the day too.
Yes, the NFU help us out financially. The Southern Agricultural Show do with the provision of the marquee and the benches and tables. And we also have the Isle of Man Creamery, who give us all the milk, butter, cheese, cream.
How lovely. lovely. Cannot beat Manx butter and dairies, can you?
And cool girl eggs.
Ah, oh, wonderful. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? That celebration of local produce.
Absolutely,
too.
Absolutely, very much so. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's hope Saturday holds out and we have a good day. Thanks, Angela.
Oh, I bet one more thing. We better tell you who the charity is.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And I'm assuming annually, Angela, you will have a charity close to the organisation's heart.
Yes, this year we've gone along for I'll Stand Up to Suicide. Yeah. It seems to be a big issue, mental health issues at the moment, and a lot of young people, you know, unfortunately finding no other way than to take their own lives, and we just want to help that charity get the message out that there is a
different
way.
That was Angela Southern and Mike Norrie from the St Mark's Fair Committee.
Tart up the teapot.
Yes, they make up all sorts of classes these days, but it's nice, Simon, to see that the traditional classes are still there, the confectionery, the handwriting, the children's painting. But tart up the teapot, that's something a bit different, isn't it?
It is. I'm sure that'll be an enjoyable day out as well. You're listening to Countryside here on Manx Radio with Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark. Well, on my journey to Port Erin, I popped around Laxey Way to pop into the Fields by Laxey Football Club to speak to Pauline Williams, who's the secretary and treasurer of the Laxey Dog Club, who were in the middle of their Laxey Day Dog Club Fun Day.
It's a hot day. Has that affected the amount of people that's here today?
Unfortunately, yes, I think it has. This is what happens with the weather, unfortunately. If we get a wet day, we don't get such a good turnout. If we get too much heat, the same thing applies, unfortunately. People aren't so keen to bring their dogs out when it's really hot.
No, I was just going to say it's probably put them off. But there are some people here today, and there's not an agility event, this. Is it like just like a sort of show like Crufts,
it's,
in a way?
It is. It's just a fun dog show. We operate the first part of the show is for breed dogs and pure breeds, and the second part is the fun categories, and anybody can enter that, whatever your dog is, whether it's a breed dog or a mixed breed.
That's well put there. Yeah. But I mean, they're walking up and down here. And what are the judges looking for in this?
With the pure breeds, she's looking for conformation, movement, and the general look of the dog. And also, it's nature. A judge will always look for a nice nature in a dog.
One that bites them is not going to win then?
No, probably not. But Becky, our judge, has been judging for a long time, and she always comes and does this for us. And it's a fun element. It's a community thing. It's a nice thing, and it also puts forward what Laxey Dog Club is all about, and that is to promote good ownership of dogs.
Yeah.
We operate the dog club all year round. We run classes, 7-week classes for puppies and improvers, and we operate 35 weeks a year. We're all volunteers, we have qualified trainers, and we help people train their dogs to be good dogs in society on the Isle of Man.
Right, and when do the Laxey Dog Club meet?
We meet on a Wednesday evening between 7 and 9 at the Working Men's Institute, and everything is advertised on our Facebook page, and we have a website that we can be contacted through, and it's just a nice thing to do for the community. It's a nice thing to do for the dogs as well, because if you've got a nicely trained, socialised dog, you're going to have much nicer time with that dog during its life than if you've not bothered.
Yeah. And I suppose the club gets a lot of people who have had pets, and maybe they've moved on to newer pets, and they've kept coming back to Laxey Dog Club again and again.
Oh, yes. And we get people from all over the island. We get people from Peel, we get people from the south coming up to us. This club has been running for 44 years. Judy Brown, who was our secretary and also the founder of the club, started this club in 1982, and we lost Judy this year, at the beginning of this year, and she was in her 80s, and she ran it right up, and she was involved with it right up to just before her death.
Wow, it's a big legacy to take.
It is a big legacy. She was very, very committed to dogs. She loved dogs, and she wanted people to, and dogs to have good lives. And if you've trained a dog well, then it has a better time.
There is such a bond. When you look even around here today, there's so many different breeds and types of dog and colours and shapes and sizes, isn't it? And it's a true saying, I always think. It's a man's or a person's best friend.
It certainly is. I wouldn't be without mine. And I've had dogs all my life, different breeds at different times. I've bred dogs. I've shown dogs in England at championship levels. And I've always been very, very fond of dogs, so it's a natural thing for me to want to be involved with this. It takes quite a lot of running, a club like this. There's a lot to it. There's a lot to the side of the administrative side of it, but it is a nice thing to do. The trainers often say to me, and you see it, we take a dog, and on week one, the puppies, it's usually a very raucous night, the first night, when they all come in on the first week one. But you see the progression through to week seven, and you can see how these dogs have absorbed what they've been trained to do. People have to go home and they have to practice during the week, and then they come back and we, little by little, we add different things into the course. But it is satisfying. It's very satisfying to see a dog at the end of 7 weeks even train to do specific things that the owner wants it to do. And that's a nice thing to see. And it means that if people come and they train their dogs, it means that we're not going to have a lot of naughty dogs on the Isle of Man.
Pauline Williams from the Laxey Dog Club. So great, the dogs are part of our lives, all our lives growing up on farms, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. We wouldn't farm without our dogs. And it's so lovely that the family pets now have fun classes to do. There's lots of training going on the Isle of Man as well for obedience and just everyday life with the dogs, learning to sit and whatever else. But like you say, they are part of the family, and to have so much fun there in Laxey, it sounded a real, real scream.
Yeah, but obviously it was like a mini Crufts there, you know, but there was dogs of all shapes and sizes. It was really lovely. And to see them, even in that sort of around, and it was a warm day for them, but you know, behaving themselves and being shown properly, so it's great education.
It really is. And to see, like you say, Crufts on telly, it gives you inspiration that maybe your little furry friend could maybe reach that green carpet one day.
Indeed. Anyway, that's it for Countryside for this week. We'll be back next week with more. So until then, from me, Simon Clark,
and me, Kerry Kermode,
we'll see you next week. Bye bye.
Bye bye.